You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Gonna take it.
Two legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent.
Hey, everybody. Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Gary Tang. We're along for the ride. Zoom and pod right here. CLNS Media Networks. What a great Super Bowl. So exciting. And we want to tell you that FanDuel is America's number one sports book. So whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the NBA playoffs, the NHL Stanley Cup, Major League Baseball, you got to check them out. That's it. FanDuel, America's number one sports book. All right. So here we go, guys. Let's get to it. I want to talk about Jason Tatum off the court. I saw on the CBS Morning News or CBS Morning Show, whatever they call it. He joined the crew there. And he has started, Jeff, I'll start with you. He has started a lot of off-the-floor activity now. We look at Jaylen Brown, and we should, for his social activism. But now Jason Tatum is really stepping up and is very impressive in partnering with SoFi in helping out economically challenged families from areas that he grew up in. Talked about his mom living paycheck to paycheck. And now he is putting his money where his mouth is. And going out there to help people develop generational wealth. As he continues to mature, and actually as he just allows us to know him a little bit more, as he lets us in, boy, Jason Tatum is really an impressive young man.
Yeah, I mean, again, listen, I think I've known him for 10 years now, since he was 15 years old. First time I met him, actually I met his mother, Brandy, at the Hall of Fame tournament, high school tournament out in Springfield, Massachusetts. And his mom and him are so different. She doesn't stop talking, and Jason doesn't say much. And he'll say that all the time. Like, he is quiet. Like, that's not his personality. But, you know, I think two things have changed him. Well, one, just age and maturity. But two things, one, being a father. Obviously, that changes anybody, right? It gives you a kind of a different outlook on life. And two, obviously, some of the criticism and the organization kind of handing the keys over to him a couple of years ago where it was really apparent, right? And they started to win but fall short of winning an NBA title. He's just grown and mature. But I would say this, like Jason Tatum, from every time I've talked to him, been around him, like, he's just a good kid. He's a good kid, and he's not a guy who's gonna be like, look at me, I gotta yell and scream and I want attention. He doesn't really want the attention. He just wants to play ball, go home, hang with his family, he's pretty simple, right? And play golf. He loves golf now, but that's about it for him. Like, he's you know, he's just kind of a simple kid in a way. And I love that he's
confidence. Jeff, let me say he's low maintenance.
So low maintenance other than with the officials.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, welcome to the NBA. But
I know.
You're right. I mean, but as an NBA superstar,
yes.
This guy is low maintenance. He's chill.
Yep.
And really, right. What he's doing Now, charity-wise, in this endeavor is very impressive. And you're right. I mean, now he wants to win championships and just help people.
You can't.
He's got confidence.
As an outsider who has never met him, I study him from afar. And I don't think I'm alone in saying that the intriguing thing about him off the court is this fatherhood, because it isn't a normal fatherhood. It is an utterly, completely aberrational fatherhood in the circumstance that any of us know. Young men, 20, 21 years of age, do not ordinarily become single parents, period. He, in that circumstance.
Well, he's not sick. I mean, single in that, yes, he and Deuce's mother are not together anymore, but she is very much in Deuce's life.
They co-parent.
Okay.
Because we don't know that.
We've always been impressed with the relationship with he and Deuce. Obviously Deuce is a precocious child too. No question. He's obviously a very bright, inquisitive, young, intriguing young man, but that's always distinguished him, that idea of him having that responsibility and having that association, a public association, you know, with this child, and it's really heartwarming and impressive. So, you know, he's always set himself a bit apart in that regard. Yep. But one thing I'm wondering, you know, is, you know, he's looked around himself. He's in the company of a much more different dynamic personality out to the world in Brown. And you wonder how much he's played off Jalen in terms of off the court desires.
Well,
I mean, competition. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying maybe he's inspired. That's possible.
Sure. Which is impressive, it's a great take, Bob, because both are very smart young men and both are now active off the floor. So all the way around, it's a great thing. And the thing that I want to add, that in this interview, he talked about, you know, with his son Deuce, like he and his mom, they paycheck to paycheck, like you said. So he's all about teaching financial responsibility, developing generational wealth. So he's making a lot of money. So obviously for his son and his ancestors, he wants to make sure they understand how money works. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the points he made with his son, that he wants his son to understand how good he has it. You know, that he's very fortunate, and you need to be respectful of the situation they're in. So if you have a chance, I'm sure it's on the web, on CBS. It's really impressive.
I'm going to check it out.
You should definitely check it out. Get your buckets with your first bet at FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if your bet wins. Bet on all your favorite NBA players and teams. Quick bets, live same game parlays, exclusive props, and more. Just visit FanDuel.com/Boston and shoot your shot. FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Massachusetts 21 plus and present in MA. Hope is here. First online real moneyline wager. Only $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com, gambling helpline ma.org, or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
So let's get to the team right now. Coming up, they got
a couple games with Brooklyn, they got Chicago, and then I'm circling that MSG game in New York on February 24th.
I'm worried about it already because it's going to be one of those circumstances. They won't have Randall. They probably won't have Hartenstein. They're going to go in with this, couple men down thing. We saw the last time they encountered that circumstance. They laid a brontosaurus egg, you know, last week. Against the Lakers. So that's all. I mean, yeah, on paper, the Knicks, when they get them, when they regain their health, are going to be a team to pay attention to. There is no question. But so, yeah, it would, and it's going to be an atmosphere. But they just better be ready to play. Well, I'm going to be paying close attention to that game to see how they play, assuming that there is no Randall and Hartenstein. I won't worry about it if those guys are playing. I'm serious. They'll do what they have to do. So that's all. But the Knicks, they're down big men. They're down big men. Sims is out, you know, to where they had to play. And now Anunoby's down. They're really hurting in the front court right now, you know. So just remember that.
You know, my biggest thing is, you know, now just looking at the jockeying that's going to go on within the Eastern Conference now, to see who the Celtics are going to be matched up against, you know, in potentially the second round. You know, I don't think the first round's going to give them much issue, but, you know, in the second round, who are they going to play? Is Embiid going to be healthy? Are they going to draw Philly potentially in the second round with a healthy Joel Embiid? I don't know if he's going to be healthy. I don't know if he's going to play again. You know, I'm not so worried about a road Knicks game coming out of the All-Star break. I'm really not. Like, I'm more worried about their health than anything else. Like, I know everybody's going to put all this stock in. Well, they shouldn't have won this regular season. And I get it. People are worried that, like, they're not going to have that killer instinct when it matters most. Either they are or they're not. Like, I don't know if you develop that, guys. I just don't know if you develop that. I think you either have it or you don't. This team is kind of chill, but you added, again, a professional, a guy who's won a title in Drew Holiday. Hopefully that helps with these guys a little bit. And he can talk to him about it and get on him when he needs to. But again, for me, it's more about the postseason. I hate to say that because, you know, again, then it's like, all right, you're just pushing forward and these games don't matter. They matter. Don't get me wrong. They matter. But I just think ultimately, again, as a fan, you just want to see them kind of get better and stay healthy. Stay healthy.
Especially – Porzingis teased in that regard now by the way Porzingis is playing. Yeah. He has been tremendous. He should have been one of the two additions to the All-Star team when the other two went down. Sorry, he should be. And they need a big man. Look at the roster. If anybody cares about the game, about their chances of actually winning the game in the East. But don't you think that Porzingis is just getting better and better?
Yeah, he's vital.
Getting in more and more.
He's vital. He's vital to the mix. I think he has to be healthy for them to win.
Well, but, you know, they have to have, you know, a number of guys. But point is, though, you know, we worry about him because of his history, his injury history. Right. And it's fair to say and to pose the question or the idea that you got to worry until it happens that he's going to be available and ready to go in April and May because his history isn't good. In that regard, and what I'm saying, he's making us more. It's more acute now. He just seems to me fitting in more and more. He's having a great run right now, and I couldn't have been more wrong about the guy, and I'm so pleased. You know, I hadn't seen him play enough in the last couple of years to know what he was really, really fully capable of, and yep. Now I'm really impressed.
Bob, I think that he's the difference maker in that if he's not healthy in the finals. If the Celtics play Denver or the Eastern Conference Finals, if they play the Bucks, you know, it could go either way. But if you have a healthy Porzingis in those two matchups, the Celtics have a distinct advantage.
I think they got the premier roster in the league right now, 1-8 for sure. And he gives them both a modern and old school dimension, you know. You can't throw the ball into him if you need it too, if they have to recognize that at key moments. And he doesn't have to stand out in the corner and shoot those threes. But
he shot them pretty well lately.
He has. and in big moments, too, of games in fourth quarter, you know, last 2 minutes. Absolutely. No, he's been impressive. He can pass the ball, too. I mean,
yep.
Oh, man, what a move. I mean, just give Brad the executive of the year now and stop worrying about the, you know.
Yeah. I think that, Jeff, I want to talk about, you know, do they have the killer instinct? Do they have it or not? And I have this gut feeling that Mazzulla it's just a feeling that he's got to figure it out. In hindsight, after the Laker game, the way he's handled the regular season, I think he's handled it appropriately. We've seen this guy mature. He's talked about the things that he's learned. And I have a feeling he's going to be the right guy for this team in the postseason. I think that they're listening to him. And I don't know if it's a killer instinct, but it may be a desperation that, guys, this doesn't happen all the time. You have to make the most of what's going on now. And I think that falls on the coach. I think it's going to have to come down to Mazzulla to deliver that message and have it hit.
Well, we've all three of us agreed from the beginning that it's the time is now. This is a now team. There's no more excuses. They have everything they need. And remember, nobody under 25 plays on this rotation. And not many teams can say that, but are really seriously contending. They're in their prime of their lives, in a sense. They've entered into it, or they're smack in the middle of it, or what. And then at the other end, we've got Al, who some nights you go, my God, you know, you forget how many things Al Horford brings to the table.
Right.
And certain nights, there are stretches of games. You guys agree? 5 to 8 minutes. When he's the best player on the floor, and you forget how good he can be, and to have that kind of an insurance policy in your midst with all the other stuff they have is pretty good.
Jeff, do you see something in Mazzulla in the playoffs? Do you hear what I'm saying? Are you buying what I'm selling?
I hope you're right. I don't know. I mean, until the playoffs, we don't know. And Joe Mazzulla is going to be he's going to be judged squarely on what they do in the playoffs. I mean, period. Like, you can win a million games in the regular season. It's not – I compare it a little bit to again, John Calipari. We were talking before this thing started, and I said to Bob, I said, Kentucky can win every single regular season game. But if they lose in the NCAA tournament in the first round, maybe even the second round again, the fans at Kentucky are going to be asking for him to be out in Lexington. Because – again, there's just one goal for Kentucky fans, and that's to get to the Final Four. Now it's even just get past the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. Well, there's one goal for Boston. And it's even increased now because of what they've done in the regular season, the dominance they've had in this regular season, everybody kind of being on the same page of, like, looking at this roster and saying, yeah, Brad's giving you everything you need if you're healthy to win this whole thing. So, you know, again, I think Joe has a better grasp. I know he does on this team, and they trust him more because they're winning at a high level. So they should trust him. But ultimately, and I don't think you have people that are going to outwardly question him like Marcus Smart did. I don't think that helped Joe a year ago.
Right.
Like, that is not the way to go about it with a first year head coach. That to me, I thought was the worst thing Marcus Smart ever did in his career in Boston, was publicly go after Mazzulla. It was immature. It was an immature.
And that's what Brad's probably starting to think, okay, he's got to go.
Yeah. I think him and Grant, we've already seen Grant get shipped out of Dallas. Right. And now he's in Charlotte, and you know, he didn't fit what Brad wanted. Brad, you know, I think Brad and Mazzulla are on the same page. That's the beauty. Sometimes the GM and the coach aren't on the same page. I think Brad listens to Joe and is trying to give Joe a team that honestly he can coach and that respects Joe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's even get to the – I want to get to the Bucks and the Nuggets. And Bob's buddy Doc, he doesn't have to talk about the disclaimer every time Bob mentions, he says, I'm good friends with Doc. So we know that. We got it. But I'm rooting like hell for Doc. I like Doc too. And they're playing defense now, Bob. So do you have a feeling? They beat the Nuggets. They sent a message. Do you have a feeling that Doc is going to reach these guys?
Well, there were a few reasons why the Milwaukee wanted to make the change. And one of them was they needed a defense. Obviously, Giannis had disapproved of Adrian Griffin. And you have to wonder how that's going to play out. Obviously, it was a rocky start, 1-5. They won the last couple impressively. They're going to straighten out, I think. You know, they're going to straighten out. When we talk about great players, it's almost the point with Giannis now that he's almost at the take for granted stage. That you need certain games with extraordinary numbers for you to remind you how good he is night in and night out. He's an all-time phenomenon player, and last night he came up big again. They're going to be hurt. You know, they're going to be hurt. I'm curious about this whole thing. For Doc personally, why he's doing it and what he's getting out of it, and also for them, and in context of what we were just talking about, what the expectations and the demands are for that team to win, to fulfill the destiny of this group, you know, which is Giannis, Middleton, and Brook Lopez, am I forgetting somebody as the core? I think I would be the trio there that would be their equivalent, you know, their trio, their core trio that's had success together.
Giannis, Dame Lillard, Giannis.
Damian Lillard, now, of course, well, right, and he's the new addition to it, you know, right. Oh yeah. Extraordinary. Very, very important one. But we'll see if they regret, that as great as he is, you know, he's never defended well, and see how he fits into this, you know, and what a glue guy that Holiday was for them, you know? So we'll see. There's pressure. There'll be pressure on Lillard in that regard. You never go into a game against the Bucks thinking it's going to be easy. You shouldn't, I don't think. And I think Doc will get the job done. I mean, get them straightened out to what they should be.
They needed this one. I mean, they just needed it. Again, it was such a bad start under Doc that they needed
wondering, I'm just thinking on the fly here because of the fact that they beat Denver and Giannis had a big, big night. And we know that Embiid, there's suspicions that there's kind of an individual rivalry with Embiid and Jokic. I'm wondering if Giannis looks at some of these guys, if there's rivalries in their heads, you know, with these upper echelon stars that we have in this league right now with of those big men, you know, those three in particular. And now, of course, they have a youngster coming along. They're all going to have to pay increasing attention to, don't we, in San Antonio?
Oh, that's I wanted to bring that up. 10 blocks, a triple double with 10 blocks.
Yeah.
Because keep in mind, gentlemen, and you guys know, but so some of our people newer to this earth that are happy listeners should know that they didn't always count blocks as a stat,
right.
And we'll never know about Russell and Chamberlain. We can be, as one who lived through it all, I will give you anecdotal evidence that there were plenty of nights when both of them had double figure blocks. And then of course, when you talk about blocks that you record the stats, and we also know that intimidation shot of discouraging people from even taking shots or missing shots badly because of the intimidation of the block is part of the deal too. So it does that intimidation doesn't stop with the block. There are plenty of other shots that are affected by people who can block shots at that degree. But this kid is going to be an all-time. There's no question with that ability. He's 7'4". He's incredibly agile, and he's got instinct on top of it. He's got every package you need to be a great shot blocker.
Well, if you watch the game or even the highlights, guys are frustrated. There's nothing they got to pass the ball. You can't post him up.
No. I mean, I think it's not just that he's big. There have been other big guys. People forget the guys. They don't even know it was 7'4". But 7'4" with this agility, we have not seen.
It's amazing how how far he can get with one or two dribbles. It's amazing to watch. Yeah. And guys are helpless, because what do? I mean, you can foul him and try to, you know, make him a little bit scared of coming through the lane again. But there just aren't that many guys out there that are going to do that anymore. Like, you know, in the old days, yeah, like Rick Mahorn would have put him on his ass. There just aren't a lot of guys that are even going to try that anymore. So Wemby's coming. The question is, can R.C. Buford and Greg Popovich surround him with enough talent that his games matter every single night?
Let me throw two names out to the committee here. Randy Brewer and Chuck Nevitt. Jim, what do they have in common? They were both 7'4".
I actually remember Chuck Nevitt. I remember Chuck Nevitt.
I remember.
But it was a big standing joke during the 1988 finals between the Lakers and the Pistons that a local radio station in L.A. started making fun of Chuck Nevitt. And it was one of the themes of the playoffs and the finals. We were all hopping, listening to the local station. It may have been KHJ, I don't know. But anyway, Chuck Nevitt got a lot of notoriety in L.A. during those finals just for being Chuck Nevitt.
For being 7'4".
But we've had, you know, now we had great 7'6" player in Yao, and he was great in his way, but he didn't have the agility that Wemby
has. Right.
Now we wondered, of course, and don't forget we got Chet Holmgren too, who's put up, you know, don't forget him. So we got two of them at the same time, and with bodies that we worry about still. Will those bodies hold up? Those extraordinary skinny bodies, but they bring something that is very useful in playing the game of basketball to the table. That's for sure. And what Wemby did last night, that won't be the last one. That'll be the first. That's not the first thing, even. It's just a warning to the world about what he can be. And they're playing better too. By the way, they're up to 12 wins now. As seriously, you know, so they're playing better. They went. Yeah.
Well, it also underscores how great Russell was, because Russell was 6'9", right, at best.
Well, that's why you have to remind people that he was an athlete ahead of his time. As he once said to me, I could kick the rim. Think about that one for a minute. And he was an athlete ahead of his time. I mean, he was extraordinary. He was a 6'9" high jumper with no technique. You know, if he trained to be a high jumper, God knows. He may have been, you know, he not Charlie Dumas might have been the first 7-foot high jumper. Who knows? And so anyway, yeah, he was extraordinary athlete, extraordinary reflexes, speed. He was the fastest guy in the team, you know. If they lined up for a sprint, and he was the fastest guy in the team. And how many centers can make that statement historically? Not too damn many.
No, yeah, he was
incredible. And then you think the other guy, Wilt. Wilt ran a 4.40, and Wilt, dude, he had decathlon components. I don't think he would have been a pole vaulter, but anything else in that he could have done, and you know, at some reasonable level. Of course, he loved boxing, and of course, his may have been his favorite sport was volleyball, right, over basketball. So anyway, those two guys were extraordinary athletes of the past.
Jeff, I'm curious, to get back to the Doc thing, do you think, even though it's 16 years later, which I can't believe, does Doc show any 08 highlights to this Bucks team?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he waits for the right time for it, right? I mean, you're gonna try to get these guys motivated any way you can. I think that's one of Doc's biggest strengths, right, is dealing with people and players and knowing how to get them going. But again, like Bob said, I mean, I know why he did it. Obviously, if you get an opportunity to coach a team now that you know is one of the top four teams in the NBA, you have a chance. So you're not going to turn that down, that and the money. But it does put Doc in a position where, again, he can get vilified and crucified if something goes wrong in the playoffs and they have a lead and they blow a lead again. And,
yeah,
you know, but you got to take a shot.
Oh, you got to do it. Oh, come on.
Right.
I mean, that's coach is coach.
Well,
Bob Ryan still writes. Writer's right. Crappy coach, coach.
We're not talking about the Charlotte Hornets here. We're talking about a really good team with a chance to win the
whole. Well, there's a segue.
Speaking of Charlotte.
Speaking of Charlotte. So, Kupchak steps down. And, Jeff, you wanted to make a point. Do they build around LaMelo Ball?
Yeah. I think they've got a real legitimate quandary here in Charlotte with whoever takes over. And I don't know, you know, I saw a couple of the names that I think, you know, Woj threw out there, Trajan Langdon, Elton Brand, Mike Ancy, who I've known forever, who's the assistant GM of the Cavs. I would hire him in a heartbeat. You know, not saying those other guys aren't good too. Michael Jordan, I guess, has far less involvement now with the Hornets than he ever has. He's really not there. And I don't think he's involved in the decision-making. So maybe they would hire a Duke guy like Elton Brand or Trajan Langdon to run the Hornets. I thought that would be taboo for Jordan. But I would say this. To me, you got to be very careful. Kind of what Atlanta is dealing with Trae Young. I think Trae Young and LaMelo are similar in a lot of ways. Neither one guards at all. Right, they're one-way players. Now they are special offensive talents, but I think if you look at both their track record, they haven't won nearly as much as you thought they. And I'll put LaMelo even worse. You know, Trey at least won enough in college, and he's had the Hawks competitive. For, you know, I think it was in the bubble year, they went fairly deep in the playoffs. LaMelo hasn't done anything. He's still young. I get it. But I would just be careful because the habits are tough to break. You know, it's tough to get a kid to guard when you've paid him this contract already.
Yeah.
When he's never guarded. You know, I said that about Andrew Wiggins years ago. They gave him a $30 million a year contract. So you're basically rewarding a kid and saying, like, hey, we're giving you $30 million. You never had to guard. Now, Wiggins started to guard a little bit in Golden State just because, again, it's Golden State, right? They had a culture there. Charlotte doesn't have a culture. That's my worry with LaMelo Ball is who is this guy going to learn from? Now, they just got Grant Williams. Maybe Grant will get up in him a little bit, which is Grant. That's his personality. But I just don't know if LaMelo Ball is going to respect Grant Williams enough to listen to him. I don't know who he's going to respect enough to change his ways, which are honestly, they're not winning ways in a lot of ways.
Well, we'll be seeing. I had honestly lost track of Mitch Kupchak to the point where I was saying, oh, really? I didn't realize he was running the Hornets. So I that it's really become a forlorn franchise. There's no doubt they're just, you know, not on the consciousness of the average fan at all. And they have a blah persona right now as a franchise. So, you know, they need to get some injection of interest there somehow. Yeah.
Before we go, I have to get some comments on the Super Bowl. I thought it was fantastic. People don't want to hear it, but Brady has competition. Mahomes was right now at this point in time, and I'll start with you, Bob. You have to say that Mahomes is on course to at least equal Brady.
Well, it's going to be, you know, the thing is, if you're going to go discounting rings, it's always going to be the Brady edge until it isn't.
Sure, the longevity. Okay, fine. Yes.
It's like in all sports, particularly basketball basketball seems to be the leader rather than baseball or even hockey. So football, yeah. I liked it. I thought the drama built as the game went on naturally. And you could, you know, we could see what could happen. Let me just say, here's one definitive statement. That missed extra point is the most significant miss, point not scored in the entire history of the Super Bowl. Since 1967, because if he makes that extra point, it's a 98% chance they're going to win because they would have forced them to score a touchdown at a point when they weren't doing anything. So that extra point changed. You know, that's extraordinarily important. I hate to put that kind of a lifetime burden.
Well, no, know, I mean, so, it's true, though. It's,
especially because he made two huge field goals. Other than that, right? Didn't the,
yeah.
The,
yeah.
So the game's over. They can't
buy a game
for the field goal.
Yeah.
So that's I thought the game, yeah. So the suspense built and the suspense built. I'm not ranking it as one of the all-time, for me. It
was, wait.
Best Super Bowl. Hey,
through the first three quarters, the best part was some of the commercials. I mean, it was boring for the first three quarters, was it not?
It was. Well, yeah, I didn't think it was that great, no. It was. We were. In fact, the whole thing was, I kept saying, oh, boy, the happy people and people in America, those who took the under.
Yes.
Well, here's
one thing I'll tell you. Here's one thing I'll tell you. Defense is not lost in the NFL. That's one thing I took from it.
Okay. No,
because
yeah,
I thought defensively both teams stepped up big time. Now, yeah, I think that you could say I understand the frustration with the offense, but you know, too many three and outs or whatever. But I give credit to the defense. I thought both the coordinators did a great job. I thought both defensive units did a phenomenal
job.
They
did.
So, but I understand that's not sizzle.
You can make a case for Chris Young as Chris Jones as the MVP of the game.
Right. And, defensively, and, both teams. My God.
So, but I thought there's a rush to judgment here on calling this one of the great, as great as, you know, what's a great Super Bowl? The Charlotte, the Patriots victory over the
Carolina Panthers.
Because at halftime, they're on their way to a total utter blowout. Yeah. The Panthers were impotent. Second half, did they come roaring back? Oh boy! And that was it. I was there for that one. That to me, that's my favorite one as a football game.
Jake,
of course, the 28-3 will always live in, you know, the hearts of the Patriot fans for that reason, of course. But I'm just saying that Carolina, don't ever forget how great a game that was. And but back to the original point about Brady and Mahomes. To me, I always separate these things in the obvious historical accumulation discussion versus how good are they in the context of their moment and times discussion, okay? And so Mahomes can do more things than Brady.
Yeah.
He extended, you know, he made plays with his legs. I've always said this. If we're having that mythical game, you're waiting for your life tonight. This is the winner of this game determines your life. And what quarterback do you want? 15 years ago, to me, the easy answer was Elway. Why? Because he could beat you both with his arm and his legs. Neither Brady nor Manning are in this discussion in that regard. In that regard, if you care that much about it, if you want to say, it's not that important, you know, you go for Brady or Manning if you want. Now we got a kid that can win it, can beat you with both his arm and his legs. And if I had to go for my life tonight, being what I've seen with this kid now, this man, 28 years old, I wouldn't have any hesitation to take him at all.
I love the guy. I'm a Mahomie. I love the guy. I mean, I love him. But you got to give it up for the Dunkin' commercial, right, Jeff? The Dunkin' commercial was good.
We love it here. That's our
You're not gonna go out. You're gonna buy the outfit, right, Gary? You're gonna.
Yeah. All three of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. All three of us.
Next week.
I'm
sure.
Brady's glasses. Yeah.
I'm sure in New England, it's by far the favorite commercial. I don't know whether it went over that big in Peoria or Fargo or Ashton.
Oh, it didn't. Nationally, it didn't do well, but in New England, it was great.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys. Always a pleasure. We'll talk again next week. Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway Along for the Ride, brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Visit FanDuel.com/Boston to sign up. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. Make every moment more with FanDuel. Check it out, folks. New customers join today, and you'll get $200 in bonus bets if it's your first bet of $5 or more. Till next time, gentlemen.